Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club. There are good things ahead here in Rhode Island as we hatch safe and creative ways to keep in touch with our members. Get the latest sightings and birding-related events, whether they're in person or virtual. Find us on Facebook and online at oceanstatebirdclub.org. Ocean State Bird Club.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 793. That's a big number, but so is this one. Five. That means 5 weeks in a row we're able to start the show with some good news, really good news. This time it's that a federal judge, quoting a line from To Kill a Mockingbird in the process, has struck down the White House's attempted rollback of the historic law that has protected birds since 1918. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act. In her decision on Tuesday, Judge Valerie Caproni said, "It is not only a sin to kill a mockingbird, it is also a crime." The judge criticized the administration's interpretation of takings and killings of birds under the act as applying only if the animals are specifically targeted, and pointed out that the statute does not prohibit only the intentional killing of migratory birds, and that it doesn't say that only some kills are prohibited. So, at least for now, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act will continue to protect birds as it has done for more than 100 years. Well, our Freya McGregor is back home in Kentucky again, at least for a while, and she's been observing the eastern counterpart of a bird she visited with a couple of weeks ago. And she's about to tell us about it in this audio postcard that she has sent to us.
Hi, everyone. It's Freya McGregor here. I'm standing in the big park next to the airfield at Fort Knox in Kentucky, where I live, on the Army base Fort Knox. And I'm watching an eastern wood peewee, which is a kind of a flycatcher. And that is its call. It's really cute. It says, "Pee-wee." So it's sort of helpful because it tells you what it is. There it goes again. I heard it over the sound of the helicopters. I'm really close to the airfield and the... Oh, there goes a monarch. Monarch butterfly. That's awesome. Hey. Sorry, that's... It's funny when you're a bird watcher, you get distracted by other things that fly, and so the helicopters flying around are quite distracting too, but this peewee telling me who it is looks a lot like an eastern phoebe, except a little smaller, but very similar sort of shape. And the eastern wood peewee has two white wing bars, which a phoebe doesn't have. And phoebes, when they're perched, they tend to sort of, there's the peewee again, they tend to sort of wave their tail in like a figure eight sort of shape, but eastern wood peewees don't do that. They leave their tail still, but like phoebes, they find a good spot to sit and then they fly out and catch, such a cutie, they catch insects on the wing and then fly back to their to this similar perch often. So, in amongst all the other strange sounds on this base today, I just thought I'd share this eastern wood peewee with you. Aw, peewee. Bye.
Bye-bye, Freya. Freya there, battling a little breeziness there and describing her visit with an eastern wood peewee. Here's another bird. That's our mystery bird. This is a preview of our contest coming up in just a bit. Our mystery bird is quite small, about 4 to 5 inches in length. It's also kind of a peewee-sized bird with a wingspan of 6 to 8 inches. It has a short black bill and a pretty long tail. Black on the top of its head and its bib. It has white cheeks, a gray back, and whitish underparts. Our bird, which forages along tree branches, pine cones, and dead leaf clusters for insects, fruits, and seeds, is found over almost all of the southeast U.S., and its range extends as far west as Oklahoma and central Texas, and as far north as Ohio, Indiana, and New Jersey. That's our mystery bird. This is a preview of our contest in which you can win a beautiful Droll Yankees Observer window feeder and a big bag of Birds and Beans bird-friendly shade-grown coffee. Our mystery bird contest coming along in just a little bit.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Some of the stories and videos on our TalkinBirds.com website and on our Facebook page. Scientists have devised a way to save the 40-spotted pardalot, a rare Tasmanian bird about the size of a ping-pong ball, from an unusually harmful threat. We have a link to that story. Stressed-out sparrows' behavior may be a harbinger of climate change impact. We have that story from phys.org. That's P-H-Y-S. And that report about the court overturning efforts to weaken the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. We have more details about that, courtesy of our friends from the American Bird Conservancy. And those are some of the stories on our TalkinBirds.com website and our Facebook page right now.
I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you.
We have some new Talking Birds ambassadors to thank. They're listeners who've volunteered to help us spread the word about our show and about birds and conservation. And today we reveal the identity of our 500th Talking Birds ambassador. We heard from him a while back, but this is the time frame as you thank our folks joining up here. And it is Josh Levac from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. He says he's been listening for about half a year. He finds himself talking to people about the show in his role as one of the bird banders at McKellar Island Bird Observatory in Thunder Bay, Ontario. He says, I look forward to continuing to promote the show. Thank you so much, Josh, and thanks for being number 500. And of course, there's number 501 moving us to the next level, and it's Patrick Oakes from Fort Knox, Kentucky. He says, your awesome Freya really got me interested in birds. Your awesome Aussie, that is, your awesome Aussie Freya. She is from Australia. Her enthusiasm, Patrick says, in her audio postcards is infectious. I find myself looking up more whenever I'm outside, but I make sure I keep my mouth closed to avoid any unwanted gifts from the birds. Very practical there. Patrick from Fort Knox, Kentucky. That's where Freya is, and I wonder, if they know one another. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you to Sherry Kastner from New Berlin, Wisconsin. She says, currently I monitor two bluebird trails and have for about 14 years. There's so much enjoyment in talking about birds with many of my friends. The results from monitoring are reported to the Bluebird Restoration Association of Wisconsin, where I'm a member. She is doing some amazing stuff here. What else does she say? She's now a lifetime member of this group of bluebird lovers. It's a great group with a great cause, just like yours. She says, next year I'll be taking on another trail for a birding friend who can no longer monitor, which has 36 boxes. In our area, she says, bluebirds usually nest twice a year, having as many as 6 eggs in the first nesting and less in the second. Great stuff, and thank you so much, Sherry. Still to come on our show today, Yvette Ayala from a wonderful organization called Reclaimed Earth will be here to tell us about that group's work helping birds and other creatures. Plus, we'll catch up with Mike O'Connor in an almost live from the archive installment of Let's Ask Mike for some info about how birds keep cool in hot weather. And up next, a bird that says its name, sort of, is today's featured feathered friend, presented by Birdwatching Magazine. For more than a quarter century, Birdwatching has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. Today's Talking Birds featured feathered friend is a type of gull, but it's not called a gull, and it provides its common species name in its call, which we'll hear in a moment. It's a small to medium-sized gull with a small yellow bill, white head and underparts, a medium gray back, and black wingtips without white spots. It also has black legs, which provide part of its common name, the black-legged kittiwake. And there we hear it, if we use a bit of imagination, saying its name.
Kittiwake, kittiwake, lives in the sea and not a lake or a river.
And
Despite not being called a gull, combined with its close relatives, it's the most numerous type of gull in the world. It's part of the only gull group that makes nests in cliff faces, which helps it avoid many natural predators. The black-legged kittiwake also has been known to nest in man-made structures like buildings and ships. The hind toe of the black-legged kittiwake's foot has evolved to be just a small bump, giving the bird its scientific species name, Tridactyla. Today's Talkin' Bird's featured feathered friend, Rissa Tridactyla, the black-legged kittiwake.
Kittiwake, kittiwake, lives in the sea and not a lake or a river.
By the way, I want to say thanks to our friend Chris and his group, The Time Machine, T-H-Y-M-E, from over in Lancashire, England, for that kittiwake music. Welcome again to our show, number 793. Don't forget our website, talkingbirds.com. Yvette Ayala is the founder and president of a nonprofit organization called Reclaimed Earth, which is dedicated to the conservation of endangered wildlife all around the world. And she joins us on the phone now from Miami, Florida, to tell us more about her work and about a virtual volunteer trip to South Florida and South Africa. Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning, Ray. Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure indeed. You're doing some wonderful stuff there, and I want to ask you about that virtual trip. But tell us first, if you would, Yvette, a little bit more about Reclaimed Earth and its mission.
Sure. So, as you said, we're dedicated to the conservation of endangered wildlife, and that's a global mission. We have no specific region, and we really just find boots on the ground effort that's already being done. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, and then we just partner with those various organizations once they're vetted to create new audience and new support streams for them. And aside from that, our big mission is awareness, because we believe it's not that people don't care, it's just they don't know how to help.
Mm-hmm. If they don't know, they can't help, obviously. When you know about something, you get to understand it, and then you love it and want to protect it. So for folks listening to our show live, Yvette, it's the 16th of August today, and today begins the week-long virtual volunteer trip that will include a day focused on birds. What will that experience include?
Yeah, so so excited that it starts today. Actually, listeners can jump in on Facebook Live at 10:30. We're going to do our orientation, and they can hear more in detail about the two organizations involved. I partnered with Wild Tomorrow Fund for this virtual volunteer trip. It runs through August 22nd, and each day there's two different experiences involving conservation, either in South Africa or in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And so the birding day is August 20th. At 10:30, we're going to have a discussion on bird banding. And so participants will get to see how bird banding is done, the kinds of birds that they have in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And they'll also get to see how bird banding is a useful tool for research and the monitor of these bird populations and migration patterns. And then at 3:30, we're really excited that James Curry, birding expert, has decided to join us. He's had an incredible career in birding with Nikon and Nat Geo, and we're really looking forward to him sharing some of his most memorable adventures around the globe.
Mm-hmm. Exciting stuff indeed. And that's Eastern time, by the way, when you give these times. And we'll give the website address here in a moment, too, so getting more more information about that and how to take part in all of that. You also have an event as part of that volunteer trip event that involves something that's pretty close to our hearts here at Talking Birds. You call it the Coastal Trash Battle. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we decided that we wanted to dedicate a day to really raising awareness to the human impact on wildlife and our ecosystems and the wild, and really connecting that just because we're in a city doesn't mean we can't participate. And so I got together with a gentleman by the name of Andrew Otazo. He has collected himself 11,000 pounds of garbage out of the mangroves in Key Biscayne, Florida. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be talking to us about the kinds of things he finds and the why he does what he does. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be joined by Miami Water Keepers, which is an organization down here in Florida that wants to make sure our waters are kept drinkable, fishable, swimmable, and just overall in good health. It's going to be interesting to hear the difference between the volunteer sector and the actual scientists, right? And so I'm looking forward to that panel as well.
Indeed. So if I understand correctly, Yvette, anyone can take part in this virtual trip by buying a ticket for individual events or a package that provides access to all the week's events. And how to buy those tickets?
So we do have a week pass, which includes all of the events. And then we have, and that also comes with, if you complete the week, a certificate of completion for anyone looking for volunteer hours. And then the individual sessions are each an hour and a half, more or less, and you can purchase those tickets individually. And that's at www.reclaimedearthwildlife.com/virtual volunteer trip.
Okay. Yvette Ayala is the founder and president of a nonprofit organization called Reclaimed Earth, dedicated to the conservation of endangered wildlife worldwide. And again, that website where you can buy those tickets and find out more about their great work, reclaimedearthwildlife.com. Did I get that right, Yvette?
Yeah.
Because I have it written down
That's
incorrectly.
Right.
reclaimedearthwildlife.com. Yvette, thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work and good luck with that virtual volunteer trip.
Thank you.
Coming up next here, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year, illegally. Poaching is just one of the risks animals face at our hands. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor. I grew up in the beautiful rural countryside of Ohio, where animals roamed freely in the open forests. I have a deep concern to help preserve those open spaces for our wildlife friends so they can live and thrive like they used to. Destruction of their habitats threaten their very existence. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land where they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats, and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Hey, before we get to our Mystery Bird Contest, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Bird Observer Magazine and birdobserver.org. This is a wonderful publication, and we want to invite everybody to check it out. It's based here in New England, but it has lots of stuff of interest to folks everywhere. Wherever you are, you'll find some great stuff here about birds. There's even a mystery bird there, kind of like ours, except it's done in a visual format by the great Wayne Peterson. And it's pretty challenging, but fun, too. And this issue, the August issue, is just out. It has so amazing, many amazing things. A piece called Whippoorwill Dream by our friend John Nelson. Hearing aids for birders. Revisiting bird window collisions and what can be done about that. Photo essays, musings from the blind birder, field notes about white ibises and sanderlings and ruddy turnstones, and so much more. And a visit by a pileated woodpecker to our friend Marsha's backyard. It's all in there, birdobserver.org. Really worth checking out. The new issue is just issued for August. birdobserver.org. Here's our mystery bird. Our mystery bird contest is presented by Red Start Birding. Red Start Birding is your new resource for birding optics, gear, and expertise. Great birding starts at redstartbirding.com. Well, you heard the sound there of our mystery bird. Some clues? It's a small bird, about 4 to 5 inches in length, wingspan 6 to 8 inches. It has a short black bill and a pretty long tail. It's black on the top of its head and on its bib. It has white cheeks, a gray back, and whitish underparts. Our bird, which forages along tree branches and pine cones and dead leaf clusters for insects, fruits, and seeds, is found all over most of the southeast U.S., and its range extends as far west as Oklahoma and central Texas, and as far north as Ohio, Indiana, and New Jersey. You heard the sound of the bird. Prizes include everybody's favorite, the Droll Yankees Observer Window Feeder. It's like the bird observer, except it goes on your window. It lets you see the birds up close with an unobstructed view. Strong suction cups attach it right to your window. Bonus prize, a 12-ounce bag of delicious, shade-grown, bird-friendly Birds and Beans coffee. That's our favorite coffee, and it really does help birds survive in the winter down in the Neotropics. So those are the prizes, those are the clues, and there again is the sound of our mystery bird. And the important part, the phone number, 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900. We urge you to call as soon as possible because we have a tendency to almost run out of time here. So please call us as soon as you can. Take a guess, because if no correct answer is received, a drawing will determine our winner. 781-837-4900 is the number. Up next, almost live from the archive, let's ask Mike in just 1 minute.
Here at Talking Birds, we're for the birds. And we want to say thanks to another Talking Birds ambassador who's helping to spread the word about our show and about birds and conservation.
My name is Betsy, and I'm from Belchertown, Massachusetts. I became a Talking Birds ambassador because I found myself talking about this show to the birders that I would run into. And I thought, if I'm talking about it, I might as well become an ambassador. I'd like to encourage other listeners to become a Talking Birds ambassador because it's easy and you get the chance to share your love of the show with other people.
Talking Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. It's easy to do. Just visit our website, talkingbirds.com. Click on Get Involved at the top of the homepage and then choose the Become an Ambassador option at talkingbirds.com. Join today and thanks.
So how do birds keep cool when it gets hot? Well, they go to Cape Cod, of course, down by the National Seashore. Cool breezes coming in from the Atlantic. Well, that's my theory. Let's see if it holds any water. Mike O'Connor is down there, and he's going to explain that to us about birds keeping cool. Good morning, Mike.
Sunglasses, Ray.
Sunglasses?
They put on sunglasses. Everybody's cool with sunglasses.
They use those, what do you call those? Polarized
sunglasses. Yeah. Well, they're small.
Yeah.
They got the bird sunglasses.
Available now at the Bird Watchers General Store.
That's right. We're getting our supply in.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, sure. Like, you know, like birds, we all worry about the birds in the wintertime. How do they keep warm? Well, the opposite is true, although we don't worry about it as much or think about it as much. In the summer, the birds can overheat, and unlike us, you know, we can strip down layers. I know you put on your Speedo and take a quick dip in Boston Harbor.
Photos on the Facebook page coming soon.
But the birds can't really do that. So some birds will, you know, we see birds that kind of stretch out their feathers a little bit to get some cool breeze underneath it. Some birds, they pump more blood actually through their beak. They lose a lot of heat through their beak, which is why they tuck them in at night when it's cold. But they can actually pump more blood through their beak to lose a little bit more heat. They pant. Believe it or not, they call it gutter fluttering, you know, like dogs. Pant. Birds have their own version of that, which means they don't drool on the furniture like dogs do. But they have this, and you'll see them sometimes. You'll just see them with their mouth open, and they pump a lot of heat out through that. Some birds of prey, to get away from the earth's heat, they'll actually go up and soar. You'll see circles of birds of prey in the summertime just getting away from the earth's heat and soaring higher and higher with a little bit cooler, and it takes them almost zero energy because they can just glide and soar around. Bird baths are important. You know, birds will go for a quick dip, and then they go preen themselves, and that let just like us taking, you know, jumping in the pool. But a lot of times they'll forage in the morning, early in the morning, and then midday we don't see any birds. Even my customers are complaining, there's no birds because it gets just too warm, and so they'll just stay in the bushes and in the shade, and they'll just kind of preen and wait for it to cool off and maybe come back towards the end of the day. But keep your bird bath filled, right, and keep the Speedo handy.
All right, and don't forget the bird sunglasses. Get those over there at Mike's store. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, talk to you next week, Ray.
All right, Mike O'Connor there at the birds, the legendary Bird Watchers General Store on Cape Cod. We'll be back to our mystery bird contest right after this.
For over a quarter century, Birdwatching Magazine has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. Regular contributors include expert birders and authors such as Ken Kaufman, David Sibley, Pete Dunn, Laura Erickson, and others. Learn more at birdwatchingdaily.com.
Back to the Mystery Bird Contest. It's our mystery bird. Listen a little bit more here. Our mystery bird is quite small, 4 to 5 inches in length, wingspan 6 to 8 inches, a short black bill and a pretty long tail, black on the top of its head and on its bib. It has white cheeks, a gray back, and whitish underparts. What is our mystery bird? 781-837-4900 is the number, 781-837-4900, and Mike is somewhere in New York. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. In the city, Mike, or where?
I'm in Center Reach, New York.
Center Reach. I know who this is. This is one of our great Talking Birds ambassadors. Am I right?
Yes. Thank you for recognizing. Yes.
Sure.
Happy to help.
Thank you for being an ambassador.
Spread the word.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in on our mystery bird contest. And we'll all say thank you if you can correctly identify our mystery bird. Mike, what do you say it is?
I'm going to say it's a Carolina chickadee.
Carolina chickadee. Let me check and see if that. Yes. You got that right. Leonard Skinner there, helping us out there. Yeah, Carolina Great. Chickadee, very good. I'm sure lots of folks thought it was a black-capped chickadee or maybe a mountain chickadee, but very, very similar to the black-capped chickadee, almost identical, but a few subtle appearance differences in that song and call are a little bit different, too. Nice job. Would you like to try our bonus question, Mike?
Sure.
Okay, here it is. One of these rare-sounding birds found only in one small place on Earth actually exists. There's a multiple choice. Is it A, the inaccessible island rail? B, the misty river meadowlark?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. Which of these birds really exists? Only one of them does. Okay, so A is the inaccessible island rail. B is the misty river meadowlark, and C is the forbidden forest flycatcher. We have no joke choice here because they all sound like a joke. So those.
Yeah, read it one more time. I'm sorry.
Okay, the three choices of which one really exists: the inaccessible island rail, the misty river meadowlark, or the forbidden forest flycatcher. Just one of those exists.
Mystic River meadowlark.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'm not sure, though.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
All right,
I'm glad,
that's right.
I'm glad you weren't sure. It's actually the inaccessible island rail found
How
only...
How about that?
It's found only on that uninhabited island, close by the island of Tristan da Cunha in the South Atlantic. That is considered the most remote inhabited island on Earth. That's all very confusing, but we'll figure it out. Mike, thank you so much, and stay on the line, and we'll arrange to send you that beautiful prize. All right, and in case we missed it earlier, the Carolina chickadee was our mystery bird, correctly identified by Mike. You may not know her name, but names are what she's all about, at least in terms of the project that we'll talk about with her next week. She's Jordan Rutter, and she wants many of the names by which we know a lot of birds to be changed. We'll find out why she thinks that and what some of those names might be right here next week. And we are so out of time. Thanks for being with us, and see you next week.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Bird Watchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club. There are good things ahead here in Rhode Island as we hatch safe and creative ways to keep in touch with our members. Get the latest sightings and birding-related events, whether they're in person or virtual. Find us on Facebook and online at oceanstatebirdclub.org. Ocean State Bird Club.